pray. Heavenly Father, again, I count it a wonderful privilege to share your precious word today, and just help me to be clear and precise and simple, that we can all get its truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you remember quite a bit of things when you were growing up as a child? Do you have a pretty good memory of some of those things? Some of the things you'd wish to forget. Some of the bad things you wish you could forget. I know my dad was a painting contractor. He had delivered milk. I was too young to know when he delivered milk, but he had delivered. He was a milk carrier and delivered milk for a while. Then he worked on a farm and worked in the woods. Did a little of that too, Petey. Then he learned to hang wallpaper and paint from my grandfather on my mother's side. And so then he had the painting and wallpapering business. And he, in the summer, he would have several men hired. I think there was one time he had 10 men that he had on payroll. And I can tell you, at times, it was like feast and famine. Do you remember when the baker, you'd come to the house, there were no a baker in a truck that had loaves of bread and other things, pastries and other things like candy? Well, the baker came to our house, and there was lots of times that, you know, I always went out there because I had a nose for candy, and there'd be certain things I'd want to get. And of course, Mother says, no, no, not this week. Can't do it this week. It's a little tight this week. Dad always made sure that the men got paid, but he didn't always get paid. So he had some kind of arrangement with the bank. Elroy, you'd know what this is like if you're just probably starting a business. You have to have some sort of a credit line with the bank to make sure your men get paid, but you don't always get paid. So we knew what that was like. So Mother was able to stretch a lot of things with food. She did amazing things with food. Nowadays, we have powders and mixes and jars of gravy. You could just open the lid and heat it up. But in those days, you made your own gravy with flour and water, and you had a little ham broth. You'd pour a little ham broth over the potatoes. Those are some things that, you know, we just grew up with. It. We just thought that was normal. Well, she wasn't stingy. Mother was not stingy. I've learned through the years that she gave a lot of things. Things that we didn't really have an abundance ourselves, but she gave it. When we have children that would stop at the house, and they were friends of mine, and we would be playing, and maybe their parents weren't home yet, she'd always set an extra plate at the table so that they could eat. And so Mother was able to, I learned a lot of things about giving as a result of watching my parents. I know that my dad was a treasure for many years. Most of the years that I remember him be going to church, he was a treasure. And I know that he always tithed. He was a great tither. He didn't miss giving money to the Lord. And he always said, the Lord gives us so much, it certainly is very little for what he asks. So he was a tither. And I can tell you that we were never in want. God supplied all of our needs. He was very good to us. And I'm very grateful for my parents being Christians. So she wouldn't think twice about sharing food with them or some clothing. If they needed clothing, she always saw that they got it. At that young age, I didn't know too much about the security of generosity. That's, by the way, the way I titled my message is Generosity, Giving. Do you know it's more blessed to give than it is to receive? For those of us who've trusted Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, we certainly don't have any reason to fear when we share what we have with others. We don't need to worry about going without, because God takes care of it. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 41, Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold, he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which makes a furling. There are 4 furlings, and when you get 4 of those, it'll equal a penny in our money. Well, she threw in 2 mites, that was 1 furling. He called unto them his disciples and said to them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which had cast into the treasury. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Did you catch that? She didn't have very little, but she gave what she had. Boy, I could go off on that so many different places. Think about the little boy that had a couple fishes and some bread. You see how far that went. You got to be obedient. As long as you're obedient to the Lord, he can make it grow and grow and grow. Our loving Heavenly Father has committed so much love and care to us. We don't ever have to worry or fear. But we do live in a world that doesn't know God as their Savior. People have a different way of looking at life. You know, our mindset in this world is get all you can and keep it for yourself. That's the world's philosophy. Get all you can get and keep it for yourself. We're all born with sinful and self-centered natures. It certainly comes natural to look out for ourselves. That's natural. What's supernatural is when you can stop doing that and start thinking about other people. That's supernatural. It's only natural to look out for yourself. After all, I'm number one. Isn't that what the world teaches? Jesus said, deny yourself. That's what he said. The world, of course, says, you're it. You're number one. Grab all you can get. Quite different philosophy, isn't it? But that's the world we're living in. We're called to think of what the Bible says. We're called to reject these worldly philosophies because they will lead you away from the Lord. Generosity is very important. It'll challenge us to think, and we have to act contrary to what the world thinks or does. And we must rely on what the Lord says in his word. There's 4 things I want to talk to you about generosity. The first one is we ought to be generous because God's generous. He himself has given all of us life and breath and all things. Acts 17:24. There is nothing stingy about God. When he created the earth, he placed in it everything we need to get along in this life, along with abundant delights. I believe that there is plants or herbs that he gave to cure every disease. I believe that. I believe there's something out there for cancer. We just haven't found it yet. Maybe we should pray and ask the Lord to show us the plant that cures cancer. Hello? Did you ever think of that? Well, I never really thought of that. God's given us everything we need. He has supplied all of our needs. He's amazing. The pharmaceuticals just take it and make it in pill form so that you can get it for free. He gives it to you for free, but you know what you pay at the pharmacy. Hello? His things are free. We've got greed, greed, greed. Scripture says God is full of loving kindness. He's full of truth, knowledge, wisdom, power. But his greatest display is generosity. The salvation of those of us who have turned to his son to be free from sin. You free? That's the freest you can be, is to be free from sin. He died for you. He died for your sins. Pastor, I still battle sin. Yes, we all do. But he's forgiven us. We need to forgive ourselves. Sometimes it's harder for us to forgive ourselves. You know why that is? Because we have a memory of those bad things we've done. And the devil likes to replay that. See, he likes to do this. Like one of those old movie cameras. You got to turn the crank so you can keep seeing it. And that's what he does with you in your mind. He keeps playing over and over and over and over those dirty, dumb things you've done in your life. Don't you think he does that to me too? He sure does. Brother Roger, if everybody knew what you are, what you're like, they wouldn't even sit here. Don't you think he does that to me? And I say, devil, you're a liar. Have I done those things? I sure have. But I want to tell you something. Jesus forgave me of it. And he's still working on me. And he's still forgiven me. And he still loves me. And it's a privilege and an honor to be a spokesman for him. But he's still working on me. Paul says it this way. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. Probably ought to do a word study on lavish. That's a pretty good word. I like the sound of that word, lavish. You know what that means? Extra. More than just enough. Lavish. Don't you like to lavish things for your grandchildren? Don't you get joy when you do that for them? It's the same way with our Heavenly Father. It gives him joy to give us things, to lavish us with things, expecting nothing in return. Can we learn to give that way without expecting anything in return? Well, I like to get a return on my investment. Well, don't we all? But listen, my investment's not here. It's up there. There's where my investment is. It's up there. And when you draw your last breath, you're going to let all your investment right here for everybody else to fight over. And they sure will. You can bet on that. So as children, we have such a father that's so generous that he even says we're to give to our enemies. Whew. Not only are we to give to others, but we're to give to our enemies, those that hate us, those that despise us, those that do, that try to hurt you. God says, be good to them, love them, love your enemies. That's when you'll find out whether you're growing in the Lord or not. How are you growing? How's that working out for you? Even giving to your enemies, expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Luke 6, 35. The second one, we can be generous because God is our sufficiency. Our hope is not in the uncertain riches, but in the Lord who richly supplies all of us with all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6 and 17. We have no reason to cling so tightly to wealth and possessions. We are to be set free of those things so that we can do good and be rich in good works and be generous and ready to share as God desires. That's verse 18 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, Paul there emphasized God's sufficiency with this promise. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Now, isn't that some good stuff? All grace, all sufficiency, and abundance in everything. Wow. So why do we fear about tomorrow? Jed and I were talking about, we have no birds. We put bird seed out, and they don't like our food. They like God's food better. Can you imagine that? God's feeding them. That's what the Bible says. He feeds the birds. He says, and why are you worrying about tomorrow? He says, I take care of the birds. The birds don't worry about food. I look out the kitchen window and think I should see something there. I said, where did they all go? We'll get our first snow. They'll know where my food is. All right, but God is good, and he even takes care of the birds. Why would he not take care of you? Hello? Why would he not take care of you? Thirdly, we ought to be generous because God's ways are best. His ways are the best. You might try and think that your way's better. Well, just go ahead and go for it. Try it. You'll come back to seeing that his way is the best way. Seek his way first. Seek his righteousness first. Do you remember the story we read in the Old Testament? The prophet said to the lady, give me the water and the cake first. Give it to me first. You know what? That's Old Testament. But you know what that is? That's New Testament. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's why the prophet said, give it to me first. Give it to me first. You and your son will eat later, but you give it to me first. Was he trying to make himself important? No, he was a representative of God. He was a prophet. What he was saying is, give your best to God first. Give it to him first. You'll be amazed at how much you'll have left over. Those are the true riches. The world promotes the accumulation of wealth, but the true riches, you see, aren't measured by material or financial abundance, but by spiritual riches. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 4 through 28, it there talks about two different types of farmers. One farmer scatters his seed in order to produce a large harvest that will feed many. Then there's the other farmer who hoards his grain in hopes of driving up the price to make a bigger profit. Well, guess what? The one who's hoping to make a bigger profit makes a lesser profit. The one who threw the seed out so that he could feed many made out bigger and has a bigger profit. Maybe not here on earth, but I can guarantee you in heaven he's got a bigger profit. Proverbs chapter 11. I thought about maybe using a study in Proverbs. That was real good stuff. Fourthly, God uses generosity to conform us into Christ's image. To conform us into Christ's image. You see, liberality weans us from the love of this world and its pleasures. It frees us to serve Christ. Jesus warned that no man can serve two masters. You can't serve two masters, God or wealth, for he will hate one and love the other. Matthew 6:24. Which one do you love today? The Bible says if you love mammon or money, you hate God. You see, our generosity contributes to the ministry. Pays the bills here at the church. Yeah, we have bills just like you do. It contributes to the ministry of the church. It contributes to all the mission programs that this church supports. It displays our Lord's love to a world that, by the way, is watching. It shows his power in us to change us. When we have all these front here, the shoe boxes and the backpacks we prayed over. Remember in my prayer, I said, Lord, let them see the love, the Christian love that went into preparing the shoe boxes and this and the backpacks. Lord, let them see the Christian love that went into this. Let you be glorified. May you be glorified when they see the love of these Christians doing these things, not only here in the church, but outside these church walls. When we do work outside the church walls, and the church has, they've gone to different places and they've done things. They've built ramps. They've built bathrooms. They're finishing projects as already involved now. It demonstrates God's generous and compassionate nature. And it brings him glory. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. You see, generosity is a selfless lifestyle. It is God-focused as well as other-centered. Instead of self-centered, we center on others instead of ourselves. It is exactly contrary to what the world says. And I can tell you this, there's more joy to be found in giving than accumulating. How many of you ever watched Undercover Boss? How many of you ever watched that? You know what that is? It's just what it says. The boss goes undercover to find out how his organization or his stores are doing. And you know what my best part was? The best part for me is at the end of the show. And they call those that they were involved in. And in the meanwhile, the undercover boss finds out what problems they're having, what needs they're having. Well, I have a son or a daughter that's challenged, and I have my house to pay, and I have my car payment, or I don't have a car. And at the end of the show, they have a brand new car with the keys in, and the boss says, "I paid your house payment off. You don't have no house mortgage. And by the way, there's 40-some thousand here to use for your child's needs that's been challenged." And I can tell you that I've sat there with tears streaming down my cheeks to see that generosity. And I wasn't the only one. The boss, the big CEO, he also had tears. And I know he received more joy doing that than what he normally did on an office day sitting behind the desk. He learned some things. And that company will never be the same. Never be the same. Because he learned the joy of giving. If the only joy you've learned in this life is accumulating for yourself, that's a pretty small package. And when you draw your last breath, I wonder how that's going to work out for you. I wouldn't trade places with you in $1 million. Because the first thing he's going to say to you, "What did you do with the money I gave you?" "Oh, no, it was mine." "Oh, really? Really? You accumulate, that's yours, really? I could have given you a disease and you wouldn't have had a dollar." Are you with me? Are you listening to me? "I could have given you a disease and you couldn't have earned a dollar. And you're telling me that's your money? That ain't your money. That's on loan from God. What are you doing with it?" Huh? My mother knew that generosity isn't just for the wealthy. But she thought it should be our attitude and our practice of everyone. She saw the needs of those that were around her as an opportunity to serve the Lord. She didn't ever look at it as a threat to her financial security, because generosity begins by first giving ourselves to the Lord and trust him to provide us as we open our hands and our hearts to share whatever we have with others. Let's stand. It's time to go home. As Christians, we're called sometimes to go against the culture. And it certainly is true when it comes to generosity. It's why that we need to examine ourselves to see if we are being influenced by God's principles or by the world's philosophies. I can tell you his truths are timeless and always waiting to be discovered. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together. It's really been a pleasure. Father, I ask you to be with each and every one, not only these that are standing here in your presence, but with these outside the walls of this church. Lord, they really do need you. They need you. Their lives are a mess. And there seems to be no hope outside these walls. And I know, Lord, that there are many that fear tomorrow. But Father, you said we're the light and we're the salt. So Lord, keep us busy. May we be salty, and may we let our light shine before these that need you. Father, it's time to go home. Be with each and every one. Give us a wonderful and blessed week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.